So the title of this message is Don't Worry About It. Can you guys say that with me? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. How many people know that we worry about a lot of stuff? We get caught up in worry and anxiety, and it's not good for us. But we're going to deal with this a little bit, and I want to take a look at this scripture verse. It's in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 34. So Matthew 6, 34, and Jesus is saying this. He says, therefore, do not worry. Everyone say,
do not worry.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It's good. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And see, Jesus is saying in this moment, like, don't worry. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a question. It wasn't like a, hey, check yourself into this facility where it'll teach you not to worry. He was saying, you have a choice every day. You can choose to worry, or you can choose not to worry. He's saying, don't. Don't worry. And we're going to get into that a little bit, but I want to tell you guys a story real fast. I was in Bible college a few years ago, and I met a girl in Bible college. It wasn't Emily. So don't tell her I said that. I'm just kidding. She knows. But basically, you know, you just get to college, and I'm sure many of you had the same experience. When you first get there, you're kind of like trying to find who your friends are going to be, and it's like super awkward because you don't know anybody, and you're like, somebody be my friend. Like, I remember I walked in the cafeteria, like, with my little lunch tray, and I was like, am I in middle school? Like, what is going on? Like, I'm so nervous. I don't know who to sit with. It was, like, so funny. But so the first couple of days, right, they have, like, these mixers and these retreats and stuff so the students can get to know each other. And I met these two guys, one Marcel and the other guy's name is Adam, and they're my best friends. Like, even to this day, they're tight. They're really cool. So as mature college boys, college men, me and Marcel and Adam, we went to this retreat, and, you know, the Lord was heavy on our hearts. Just kidding, it wasn't. The Lord wasn't on our hearts at all. We were trying to find out who the cute girls were, to be honest. We were like, all right, we got to find some cute girls, you know, find our girlfriends or our wives in the first 2 days, whatever. And so we're talking to everybody. We're kind of flirting with some girls, just kind of making our way around, trying to make some friends. And we talked to this one girl and her friend for a while. And after that night, Marcel came up to me and he said, Dominic, I bet you can't get her number. I was like, oh, okay, it's on. You ever, like, for all the guys out there, if you have another guy friend, like, bet you something, especially when it comes to a girl, like, maybe it's just me, but I have to do it, right? So I was just the guy that had to do it. So, like, my friend's like, I bet you can't get her phone number. So I'm like, okay, bet, we'll see. And I ask her for a number. I get her number. Long story short, we start talking, right? And I start to, like, really like her. You know, I really fell for this girl. And it wasn't Emily, so I just want to clarify that. You'll see why. I really fell for this girl first couple of days. And a couple of weeks go by, probably a month goes by, and I'm like, God, am I in love? Like, is this what love feels like, right? I really like this girl. About a month in, I realized that she was talking to me and another guy and another guy and another guy. She was talking to like four or five different guys, right? And just leading us on, like, it was horrible, horrible stuff. And so obviously, I realized this, my heart was broken, but for some reason, I couldn't walk away from the situation. Like, it was just, I was in there for an entire semester in this relationship. It was the worst thing ever. It was horrible. And looking back on it, it's one of those things like, okay, like, get over it. It was a little girl. She broke your heart, whatever. But, you know, in those moments, it's a lot bigger than it seems. And so I remember being in that moment and just, like, so anxious, so worried. Like, I was so stressed out over this, I would get, like, pimples on my face because of the stress, right? I'm, like, sitting there with a huge pimple on my face. I'm like, this is not going to help your cause, Dominic. You're fighting these other guys for this girl's heart. You got a pimple on your face. Right, so I'm like going through puberty all over again. But I was so stressed in this moment. I was so worried. I just let like anxiety just completely take over my life. Like I remember there were nights sitting in my dorm room where I didn't sleep like at all. I was just up all night just thinking. And like when you do that, you create scenarios in your head, right? That never even happen, right? But you're just thinking. And all of a sudden there's like four or five different situations that are just imaginary that you're stressing out over again, right? Has anybody ever been there, done that? We've all like stayed up late nights just replaying situations over and over and over, and it's tormenting, really. And we give ourselves to this anxiety. We give ourselves to this worry. And in this first semester of my Bible college, guess how much I received from the Lord? Nothing. I was so distracted by life and other situations and this girl and her all her other boyfriends, right? I was distracted by all of this stuff that I forgot why I came to Texas. I forgot why I went to Bible college. I didn't receive anything from the Lord in that first semester, and I wasted an entire semester worrying about nothing. And the crazy thing is, I'm thankful that I got out of it, because if I didn't, Emily and Riley may not be here today. I might have missed what the Lord had for me if I just spent my time worrying. And how many of us miss what God has by worrying about what's going on in our life, about worrying about things that we can't even really change or deal with? You know, worry is a thief, and it steals your two most valuable things. It steals your time and your attention. Worry is a thief, and it steals the two most valuable things that we have, is our time. It's the time that we get to spend with family, to spend with our children, to spend with our spouse, to spend with Jesus. When we worry, it steals that from us. And it also steals your attention. When you worry, you can't think about this or that. All of your attention is given to this one situation. And you may find yourself laying in bed late at night just thinking, right? When your brain starts going, it's just never can be turned off. And so worry can really steal your attention and your time. See, the enemy knows that he can't stop you. The enemy knows that God's got you, that he can't send any circumstance to really get you or to harm you, but he knows that if he can get you to worry about these circumstances, he has you. If he can get you to waste your time and your energy and your attention on silly things that might not even be true, he knows that if he can just get your attention on it, he can't really do it to you, but if he can get you to think about it, he's got you. It's such a big strategy of the enemy, because he knows he can't stop you. So I want to look at the definition of worry. What does it mean to worry? Do you guys have that back there? Nice. So worry means to give way to anxiety or unease, to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. So when you and I worry, you have to give way to it. Worry just doesn't jump on you and take a hold of you and chain you down. That's not how worry works. It knocks at your door, and we open it and we let it in. You have to allow worry to come in. You have to give way to anxiety. And so when you and I worry, we're opening that door. It's not something that is just thrown on us. It's something that we have the choice to do. And that's why Jesus said, do not worry. He said, don't make that choice. Don't make that choice to open the door. We have the power over worry. We don't have to choose to do it. You have to give way to it or allow it to come into your life. You stop worrying by stop giving it your attention. Whatever it is in your life, we all have an it. Many of us might have a lot of its in our life at once, right? But whatever it is, we stop worrying, we stop being anxious by simply stop giving it our attention. What is your mind dwelling on? What are you focusing on? Don't allow your thoughts to settle in that place. Don't worry. See, Christians give the devil way too much of our attention. As Christians, we give the enemy way too much of our attention, way too much credit, and we try to manipulate things and think about things in our head about what he's trying to do. Listen, don't focus on that. Because you become what you focus on. What you give your mind to is what you're going to become, is what you're going to do. And so in order to stop worrying, you have to stop giving it your attention. In Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 25, I want to read a few verses there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25. And Jesus is preaching, basically, and he says this about worry. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? See, this verse tells me that a lot of people who worry have an identity issue. That when you worry, you don't really know who you are. You don't really know whose you are. Because if you and I worry about the little things in life, we're simply not realizing that we have a Father who owns everything. We have a father that is super rich and just wants to give us what we need, right? When we worry about these little things, it's not so much that we're allowing this worry to overtake us, it's that you don't know who you belong to. Because if you did, you wouldn't have to worry about this or that, because you know that God's going to take care of you. You know whose you are. See, a lot of times worry comes out of an identity issue. Verse 27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I love this scripture verse. This is probably one of my favorites. And it's kind of funny to me, actually. But I can see Jesus saying this. Which one of you by worrying can grow one inch? No one. And here's the deal. I know everyone has their own insecurities, but here's my insecurity. My hair is falling out. It is. And I bet you it was that girl's fault in college that started the process. I bet you it was. But anyways, my hair is falling out, right? I'm losing my hair. And no matter how much I worry, it doesn't grow back. Ugh. It's not coming back, right? I can't change it about myself. There's things about you that you just can't change. And you shouldn't change because God made you that way. And when we allow these insecurities to disable us and say, I can't do this because I'm not pretty enough, or I can't do this because I'm not smart enough, or God, you didn't make me like this, or if you would have made me a little taller, a little shorter, or a little whatever, right? We try to qualify ourselves in order to do different things. But the truth is, he made you. And so when you have insecurities, you're insulting God's creation. When you say, God, you did a bad job on me, you're saying, God, you did a bad job at creation. And we insult him by allowing these insecurities to come into our life. When the reality is that he didn't mess up on you. He didn't mess up making you. He made you exactly how he wanted you. And so by worrying, why would you can't change anything. So don't worry about it. Don't allow those insecurities and give them space. Trust me, I've tried it. It doesn't work. Worry does not grow your hair back. Sorry, Paul, me and you. I'm coming for you. Verse 28 says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Everyone say that with me. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. I want to show you guys what worry looks like. Can we have some fun in church? Yeah. Brought this ping pong table out to show you guys a little bit about what worry looks like. So if my Jesus, where's Jesus at? Come on, Jesus. All my guys, I got some helpers that are going to help me show you guys what worrying looks like. But yeah, go ahead, put it on, buddy. But worrying, I said it steals your attention. It steals your time. And so this is Jesus. Everyone say hi to Jesus.
Hi, Jesus.
His name is Isaiah. He's going to be Jesus for me. So grab a ping pong. This is the old choir robe, if ever, anyone was wondering. There you go. Yeah, he's got a little restricted there. But do we have any ping pong players in here? Any ping pongers? Yeah? This would be entertaining. So you got one? Just keep it. Go ahead. So when you and I worry, or when we're living life, right, life is good. It's just you and Jesus, and we're just hanging out. Everything's okay. It's easy, right? This isn't hard. Is this hard, Jesus? Oh, it might be. Sorry, that was my fault. Right? Life's easy. And then all of a sudden, when you and I start to worry, something will happen. Maybe some insecurities will come up inside of you. And you'll begin to think of, oh man, my hair's falling out. What am I going to do? Or I'm too short. Or I'm not smart enough to do that, Jesus. And then all of a sudden now, you're not just focusing on you and Jesus. There you go, insecurities. No, come on, get that one, Jesus. So now, you're not just focusing on Jesus, you got this insecurity that you're trying to give your attention to, right? You're splitting your attention, and now life's not that easy. Life's not that easy now. Because you're trying to juggle this insecurity you have and spend time with Jesus. And before, you might have come to church early. Whoa. You might have gave in the offering, right? You might have served and volunteered, but now you don't really have that much time because your time is consumed by this and that. And your attention is consumed by this or that. And now you don't think you're really qualified to serve anymore. This is hard. And then what happens is now you get a bill in the mail. Come on, Bill. Everyone say hi to Bill. Now you get a bill in the mail, right? And now you're trying to focus on Jesus. You got a ball? You got a ball? Now you're trying to focus on Jesus. Come on, insecurities. You're juggling this insecurity. Jesus is trying to grab your attention. And now you're trying to figure out, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for this bill? Oh. And life just got a little bit more complicated, right? And now instead of coming to church and tithing whenever we have tithe and offering, now you just let the offering basket go by, right? Because sorry, Jesus, I can't give money to you right now because I'm worried about how I'm going to pay this on the 28th and it's coming up soon. Oh, and I'm a little stressed out right now. And then all of a sudden, something else happens. You start having some family issues, and now there's some stress in your family. Come on, family. And now, yeah, bring the box over there. So now, not only are you trying to juggle your relationship with Jesus, oh, come on, guys. Now you got bills. Now you got family issues. You got insecurities. I can't even hit one. And all of a sudden, what was easy just became really difficult to do because you're trying to give your attention to everything, right? All right, time out. Time out. You guys are doing great. Just pause, right? Pause right here. And so this is what life looks like when we worry. Because you know what the truth is? The first thing that falls through the cracks, the first thing to fall is Jesus. When we start worrying and we start dividing our attention between X, Y, and Z, the first thing to fall through the cracks is Jesus every time, because Jesus isn't due on the 28th. Because Jesus isn't living in your house and giving you an attitude every day. Because Jesus isn't the pressing issue, right? And so when we worry, we allow life to steal our attention, and all of a sudden now we're not coming to church anymore. We're not giving. We don't have a relationship with God anymore because we've allowed the enemy to steal and rob our attention. That's what worry looks like. And I'm about out of breath up here trying to hit all those balls. So you got the orange one? Okay. So Matthew, insecurity is like going at me here. It's my hair. And so what does the Bible say? Matthew chapter 6, verses 33. Can you throw it up there? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus says, but seek first. Everyone say first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You guys can stay up here. And all these things shall be added to you. And so this is what it looks like. Come on, guys. I'm ready for round two.
Ready?
Yeah. Wait. Hold on. I'm not ready. You guys need some. Okay. All right. So this orange one represents your relationship with Jesus. And so what Jesus is telling us to do in chapter 6, he's saying, all right, come on, guys. He's saying, don't worry about all those other things. But what you need to do is seek first the kingdom of heaven. See, I'm not trying to hit all these different ping pong balls anymore. I'm only concerned about this one right here. I'm only concerned about my relationship with God. And see, I do have insecurities that are throwing things at me and that are really crippling me. And I have this bill that's coming up and I might have some family stress, but I can't stay up late and think about it. I can't not give in the offering. I have to seek first the kingdom of God, right? I have to seek first his righteousness. And so when you don't worry and when you obey God, we need some more. When you seek first, it's easier. It's easier. All right, we'll pause while they're collecting the balls. But when you and I get an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm not going to try to hit that one. I'm not going to try to hit that one. I'm not going to focus on this. I'm not going to focus on that. And when you shut worry out and you cultivate that relationship with Jesus and you say, you know, I might not have a lot of money right now, but I'm going to make sure I give in the offering. Or I might not have a lot of time right now, but you know what? I'm going to volunteer and I'm going to serve here. Or I might be a little insecure, but I know what the Lord has called me to do and I have to walk in it. And if you and I would put first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does the end of the verse say? And all these things shall be added to you. And so the only way that we can get... Hey, don't leave, guys. We're not done yet. Not done yet. Still got some more ping pong to play. Put your Jesus outfit back on, Jesus. And so when you and I seek first the kingdom of God, right? All of these things will be added to us. Because guess what? You can't change it by worrying. You can't change anything. But you know who can? Jesus. Jesus can give me more hair. He can, right? And if I seek first God, if I seek first his kingdom, guess what? All of these things that I worry about, he's going to take care of them. He's going to add them to me. And so what that looks like is, come on, Jesus, you're on my team now. Come over here. And so what that looks like is now that I focus on this relationship and I focused on my relationship with Jesus, now, come on, guys, I'm not living life. Come on. You got to hit it soft, bro. Now I'm not living life alone, right? I have a teammate now. And now life's not so hard because I can handle this with Jesus on my side. See, before I couldn't do it by myself. Obviously, I still can't do it. Come on, guys. But now with Jesus, life just gets a little bit easier. And you get to the point where you can do this. Watch. Keep playing, guys. Keep playing. Keep playing. Go ahead, Jesus. You can put this paddle down and you don't have to fight anymore because Jesus is on your team. And what used to stress you out, what used to drive you crazy, and what used to make you stay up all night long, guess what? He's fighting that for you. He died on the cross for that. So let him do it. Don't worry. When you and I worry, we're saying, Jesus, guess what? I can do this. I can do this on my own. When you and I worry, we say, look, I'm going to take care of this. I can juggle this. But if we just seek first the kingdom of God and seek first his righteousness and put him first in every decision that we make, he's going to add everything. He's going to add everything to us. He's going to add everything that we need. Can you give these guys a hand? Thank you guys so much. You guys are having some fun up here. Good job. Good job. Man, that was really hard. Oh, throwing balls at me still. All right. Ping pong balls everywhere. I'm sorry. So when you and I, look, you weren't designed to worry. God didn't make you to worry about these things. He didn't create you so that you can live this life alone. He didn't put you here to just struggle through life. He created you to trust in him. He made you to put all of your faith, all of your trust in him. And so when we allow worry to come into our life, we're taking on that responsibility. We're taking on his responsibility. And we need to let God be God. Let Jesus be Jesus. Let him fight for us. Let him play for us, because you don't have to try to juggle everything alone. Allow him to work in your life. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. See, David in the Bible, he said this, and this, I love this. David put it this way. He said, I was once young a long time ago, and now I'm an old man. And he said, not one time in my entire life have I ever seen a righteous man forsaken or his kids begging for bread. He said, I've lived this life a long time. I've been through a lot, and not one moment has God ever let me down. I haven't entered one circumstance that has ever harmed me or gone my way. Why? Because God has always added those things to David's life. And I think about some of the things that David went through. If you and I were to go through one of those things, I would probably just be done, right? If a bear came out of nowhere and it started attacking you guys, I'm out. I'm sorry. I'm out, right? If a lion came out of nowhere and start, like, we'll just run for your life. We'll be good. We'll make, you know, I just have to be faster than the slowest person here, basically. So that's good, right? But David, right, he protected his flock. He withstood the lion and the bear and the giant. He did all these different things, right? And he looks back and said, not one moment in my life have I allowed worry to come in, because I knew that God was going to take care of me. He didn't allow worry into his life because he had such a close relationship with Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew what he was called to do in life, and he walked in it. And not one moment was he let down, not one time. So I want to, as we close, I want to end with three different things. Let's see what time it is. End with three things. I wrote some things down that could help you and I to really fight against worry, to combat worry. And I believe that if you and I can do these things when we start to feel worry coming in, because the reality is no matter how strong you are, worry's going to come knocking at your door. It is. Life happens, and worry came knocking at my door yesterday. You know, me and Emily don't, you know, we have a situation where we're like, I don't know what we're going to do. But the truth is that I don't need to know what we're going to do, because I know who's going to do it for me. And so when worry comes at you guys, this is what you and I need to keep in mind. The first thing that we can do to combat worry is intimacy. Intimacy. See, after this relationship that I had in college, it went about a semester, and then after that, I met Emily, I think the second year. So I met Emily, and I noticed something when me and Emily started to being in a relationship. I noticed that I carried a lot of the things that I had in the last relationship into this one. And this last girl, she built a lot of insecurities in me, as you could imagine, you know, seeing a bunch of different guys. And I was, you know, very fearful and very cautious, and I was like, who are you talking to? Who are you texting? Emily, who are you like, it was just weird, right? And so when Emily and I became intimate, and the closer we got, and even into marriage, and even as we're getting closer still every single day, as our intimacy grows, I don't, like, the worry just left and began to leave me in that moment. Like, I remember when we first started talking, I was always, like, creepy boyfriend, like, looking over her shoulder, like, who are you talking to? Who are you texting? Like, where are you going? Don't talk to that guy, right? Like, because I was so scarred and so hurt from this last relationship. But the more I got to know Emily, the more I became intimate with her and really, really felt her heart and really got to know who she was and her character, I realized that I don't have to worry about that stuff. I don't have to be concerned about those things. And the closer I got to her, the less I worried. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're here today and you're dealing with worry and you're dealing with situations, get close to Jesus. Get close to Jesus. Pull closer to him, because the closer you get to him, the more you'll realize that he's never going to let you down. The closer you get to God, the more you'll realize that he's happy and he's not mad at you. He's not out to punish you. He's out to just love you. And so when we deal with worry, a lot of times we just need to get closer to Jesus, get closer to God. I wanted to say this. In the church, we have a lot of worriers. We have a lot of people that worry, but we don't have a lot of worshipers. And in that moment, when we feel worry come, we just have to worship. We just have to give it all to Jesus, lose ourselves in worship. In 1 Peter 5, 7, he says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Cast your cares on Jesus, because he cares for you. The second thing that you and I need to do is influence. Influence. Who or what are you allowing to influence your life? Who or what are you listening to? When worry comes knocking at your door, who are you giving an ear to? Are you listening to Jesus? Or are you listening to somebody else? See, in our relationship, my relationship with Emily, it was still in the beginning, you know, lovey-dovey stage, you know how that goes. And so we had a mutual friend. Well, I thought she was a friend, but she's not our friend anymore. She did something very mean to us. But we had a friend, right? And I remember I went to this friend and we were talking about, you know, life, and Emily came up and she was like, Dominic, you got to stay away from Emily. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, she's horrible for you. And I was like, what? She's horrible for me. She's like, yeah, she did this, she did that, she did this. And this girl just straight up lied about Emily to me, to my face. And as you can tell, like, I came out of this relationship, and so I was so hurt and scarred that I believed those things, and these worries and insecurities rose up inside of me, and I was like, oh my goodness, Emily's like this. What in the world's going on, right? What's going on? And so I allowed this girl to influence my relationship with Emily. I allowed her to speak into my relationship with Emily, but the truth is that when I started to get to know Emily and I let her influence my life, I listened to what she had to say, I listened to her side of the story, I listened to her heart and worked on our intimacy and grew closer with her, I realized that that's not true. None of that was true about her. And I allowed Emily to influence me instead of somebody else. Does that make sense? Yes. And a lot of people in a lot of our lives, we allow people that aren't from God to speak into your life. You allow people that aren't for you, really, to speak into your life. Or you listen to people or news or whatever. We have so much like jammed down our throat every single day. If you're not careful, it's gonna breed worry inside of you, insecurities inside of you. So who are you giving your ear to? Who are you allowing to influence your life? Because when I found out that this girl was lying about Emily, I went back and I cut that relationship off. I said, listen, I love you, but you can't influence me anymore. I'm going to have to distance myself from you. There's a lot of people in here that need to distance themselves from people or different things that you listen to, watch, whatever it is. What are you giving your ear to? Don't allow things that are negative to influence you in your relationship with God. John 14:27 says this, my peace I give to you. And Jesus is saying, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it to you. He's saying, listen, I have a peace that's just different. It's better for you. Let me influence you. Don't let the world influence you. The first one is intimacy. The second one is influence. And the third thing that you and I can do to combat worry, and we talked about it a little before, but identity, knowing who you are. You know, not too long ago, my mom, and my stepdad, they did foster care, and they took in 4 children under 4 years old. So if you could imagine, it was crazy in our house. And my brother and I were still living there too. So it was 6 children, essentially, and I was still a child. It was like 2 years ago. I'm just kidding. No, how old was I? I was probably 16 or 17. I was about to leave the house, but, you know, so we had 6 kids living at home, and it was crazy, crazy time. And I noticed something while living with these kids. They were orphans, and a lot of people from the foster care system are orphans, and I realized that orphans worry a lot. They're very anxious. Like, you could see the worry and anxiety on these little kids' faces. Like, not even a year old, this little girl. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, how she developed that anxiety. But you can just tell, like, when if she didn't know you, she, like, just freaked out. She was just very anxious, very worried, and her behavior and all of their behaviors were just erratic. They were super sweet and then, like, super sour a couple minutes later, right? It's because the system that they were brought up in was so inconsistent. They would go to one family that was really awesome, and then another family that was really mean, and they didn't know who their parents were. They didn't really know where they belonged. And you can see how this foster care system with all of these different orphans really it made them be anxious and worry. And I saw that, and I realized that when I lived with them. But you and I weren't not orphans. The orphans worry. Sons and daughters don't have to. You don't have to. You're not an orphan. God has taken you in, and you don't have to worry about who you belong to or where you belong or all these different things, because God, you're God's. You belong to him, and you have to know your identity in him. See, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. That you and I should be called children of God. He loves us so much that he's gone out of his way to make sure that he's adopted you and me. And he sat us down and said, listen, you don't have to worry about this anymore. You don't have to worry about where this is coming from. You don't have to worry about this situation that you're in, because listen, I've adopted you. You're a part of my family now. And when you and I worry and we begin to allow worry into our life, you have to remind yourself of who you belong to. You have to remind yourself of whose you are and say, you know what, listen, I know this is a really pressing matter, and I know this might be due in a few days, but I also know that God is my Father, and he's not going to let that happen to me. He's going to come through for me. If I can just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I know he'll add these things to my life. The first thing that you and I need to do is increase our intimacy. Number 2, who are you listening to, your influence? And number 3, your identity. You have to remind yourself of who you are. And so, in closing, whenever we worry, we take our attention off of God and put it on the noise of our life. when you and I worry, our attention and our time gets split. Like you saw me up here trying to hit all these different ping pong balls. It didn't work. Couldn't do it. When we worry, that's how ridiculous we look in our life. We try to give God this little sliver of time while we're trying to give this over here our attention, and we just keep bouncing back and forth. But the truth is when if you can just focus on your relationship with Jesus, he'll add those things to you. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm reminded of a story in the Bible of Peter walking on water, all right? Peter hops out of the boat, and he's walking with Jesus, and what happens in that moment? He loses focus. He loses attention. And he begins to look at the really big waves to his right and his left, right? And he begins to hear the noise of the wind and maybe some lightning and the clouds and all these different things take his attention from him, just like worry. It stole his attention in that moment, and then what happened? He began to sink. And I believe that there are some people in here that feel like you're sinking in worry and sinking in anxiety. And so if you guys could all bow your heads and close your eyes, I want to pray for us. And just like Peter, many of us are walking by faith, but our attention has been grabbed by this. And our attention has been grabbed by this money situation or this family situation or this work situation. And we can't quite focus on Jesus. And we feel like we're sinking. And if that's you, I just want you to just place your hand on your heart right now. I want to pray for us. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are the answer to every need that we have. God, I thank you that you've taken us into your family and we don't have to be an orphan any longer, God, but you've created us and made us a son and daughter in your kingdom. And Jesus, right now, I just ask that whatever situation we're going through, God, your word says that you already know it. You already have an answer coming, God. And so I pray that you would help us to defeat worry in our life. I rebuke any thought that's not from you, Jesus, right now. I rebuke any thought that's not from you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to take our thoughts captive and to dwell on the things that you have for us, God. I pray that you would give us wisdom, Jesus, on who we allow to influence our life. And I pray, God, that we would be able to, just as that song said earlier, we just be able to lean back against you and be so close and so intimate with you that every care and worry in the world can just go away. God, I pray that you would bless those in here. I thank you so much, Father, for this family. I pray that you would bless it in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. 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 So we have some of our altar ministers are going to be in the back. If you need any more prayer, please come and pray with them. If you have any other questions about student ministry or anything like that, please see me, anything else. But yeah, other than that, Riley's back there just laughing her head off. Oh my gosh. That's so cute. All right, well, live right, love everyone, and pray hard. We love you guys. Have a good Sunday.